East. And due to that, one of the things that I want to just share this morning, which, you know, we're probably not that aware of in this country because we have such freedoms, is they are very persecuted because of the work that they do. So what I'm going to ask is that please don't, I think we mentioned this before, please don't take any photos. Please don't talk about the sermon and names and countries and things afterwards on Facebook. I know how people love to quickly go update statuses and things like that. Oh, the Lord blessed me this morning. There was this guy. This is his name. This is what he did. Please don't do that today because we need to honor and protect their ministry in the Middle East. They have received death threats in the past, and it is quite serious, and I think we need to stand by our brothers. So what I'm going to do, Abbasad, if you don't mind to maybe come up, I'm just going to pray with you for one moment, and then we'll start. So very welcome in our church today. We bless you, and we thank you for coming. But let me pray with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing Abbasad to us today. Father, we thank you for the work that you do through your humble servant, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with his presence, Father. Father, we thank you for the message that you've sent with him and that you'll be speaking through him today, Lord. Father, we just pray for his anointing, Lord, and we pray for your spirit to flow through him today. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that nothing today would stand against your word in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that your work is perfect, Father. Father, we thank you that we can pray today for his protection, for Abbasad's protection, Lord, for the protection of his family and his ministry. And Lord, we continue to pray for their protection as they do your work. Father, we just commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting me. I know a shofar for minimum 3 years. It was, I believe, very special when first time the team from Stellenbosch came to the country, to Jordan, and I had this phone call. I didn't know them. I didn't know that they're coming. I don't know where they get my number. So I got this phone call and say, Pastor, we are in the airport more than 2 hours. We're waiting for somebody to come and pick us up, but no one is there. We're calling them. They're not answering. So I said, where did you get my number from? Oh, from such and such and that. I said, okay, well, why don't you grab a taxi? And on the way, you call me and I'll tell the taxi where to bring you. So it was very interesting when they arrived, and they did a very good job by praying in the country. I took them several places where we're really doing ministry, and we were so blessed. This year, I'm going to share this quickly. This year, we had also another team. But this year team, they were very special, I'll tell you. Special that they worked among the Bedouins. I'm going to show you later a video about that. And how really they acted. Even they were not profession, what they were doing, but they had another profession. That they loved those people from all over their heart. They opened their heart to receive those people and love them and care about them for almost 10 days. This group, later they call me and say, where did you get this team from? We want the same people to come next time. Which country are those from? We want the same people to come back. To us, because they touched God's love. So in this case, I want to also invite you to come short terms. You can speak with CS, you know, the mission pastor in Stellenbosch or whatever, maybe with your, however you go here, with your pastor. But we want to welcome you. You can be part of the ministry. This is my family. I want to introduce you my family, and I have a wonderful wife, very supportive, prayerful, warrior, and her name is Reem, which means the deer, and she's a lawyer, and she's doing a PhD in professional counseling now. And my oldest son, he's the meaning of his name is the good news. And the little one, the funny one, his meaning of his name is like a lion. Praise God for them. They are praying for me now. The little one is a little bit sick. He has some throat problem, but in Jesus' name, he will be all right. I want to tell you a little bit today about how I received Christ. Mostly, I want to go just overview. If I'm going to share with you everything, we'll stay till tomorrow morning, and probably it's not enough, because there's a lot of testimonies. We praise God for that, and five countries we're working in. We're in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and a little bit we're working in Bahrain. Those areas were really always hot place, and lots of activities happening, especially today in Syria. If you follow the news, I don't know if you follow the news here or not, you're living the end of the earth. But I bring you good news. With all the troubles around us, we still see Jesus. And the Holy Spirit working. So I raised and born in a small country in the Mediterranean area called Lebanon. I raised there. It was a wartime. So and that my mother, every day before I left home, me and my brother, she hugged us and kissed us because she don't know if we will be back home or not. That's the life we lived in. Many times while I'm on the street, sometimes I heard a bullet just pass through me, and then it's behind me on the wall, or while even I'm walking, just pass to me. I can hear it because it was very close, or a bomb somewhere in front of me, but nothing. Touch my body. And at that time, I didn't know Jesus, but I know how later on, how Jesus was taking care of me and protect me. But my mother also taught me to go to church every Sunday. So that was an Orthodox church, not evangelical church. And I become an altar boy. And what a boy, altar boy. So I thought, wow. Be an altar boy serving God, that's a good thing. So to be more Christian for me, so I thought, Sunday, it's a holiday, and I should keep Sunday. That's mean I tried my best to not to sin on Sunday. So the other day of the week, I was doing all other things. But Sunday, I was perfectly taken care of. That's how I grow up and think about Christianity. How I know Jesus died on the cross for everyone in the world. So, but on my teenage also, I practiced Islam for 6 months with a group called Sufi. And those group who the Muslims believe they are the evangelicals in Islam. Let me explain. That means they're the most close to God who are, let me tell you, that they pray. Like we pray, we close our eyes or we raise hand. They don't bow down and pray like the other Muslims. They even some of them speak in tongues. So it's very strange. They practice their faith very strangely. That every 2 weeks, sometimes every week, they go to their they have their mosque. They sit around like this and they start to sing. God is life, God is life, and the songs start to go more fast and fast and fast, and then one of the leaders stand up and choose one of the believers who are sitting, and in the middle there's a bunch of skewered, you know, those but long ones and different thickness, and he grab one of them, and when he choose one, he come and put it in his stomach and take it out from or not take it out, that is, you can see it out from the other side without any drop of blood. So those are the Sufis, the way they practice their faith, actually. But anyway, also I grew up as a ethnic also there in Lebanon, a country, the small country, and with hatreds of against a group of people that I gave my life to, that I was trained to be professional assassinator for that country ambassadors. Never been in a mission, so don't be afraid, but I raised up with this hatred towards them. And on 87, we ran away from Lebanon to Jordan, where I live today. And 89, who used to be my pastor, came and visit us and start to share the gospel. When he comes to places where you should be born again, Jesus died on the cross for your sin, and you will have eternal life. So, you know, I want to show him that I'm a Christian. You know, I'm an altar boy. I know everything. And so, when he comes to those places, and then I stopped and think about it. I said, never heard this. So I wanna see, where did he get it from? So I asked him, where did you get this from? And he said, from the Bible. So I said, show me. So one good thing is I learned it from the Orthodox Church, to believe in the Word of God. So I start to read where he was leading me to read, and the Holy Spirit start to convince me. And after a long discussion, I received Christ on the same day, on the same night, as my personal Savior. And from that moment, the Holy Spirit start to change me. That I was surprised from my life, how it was changed day after day. My mother liked it very much, because she's not anymore waiting on the couch until midnight, till I'm back home. My friends left me because they thought something wrong happened with this guy. He's not going anymore with me, with us, here or there. And but one thing I was experiencing, the peace, the joy, the love, and I don't want to do anything to make myself happy. I'm already full up with happiness and joy. That's the beginning of my journey with Jesus. And I wanted, immediately I started to share everyone who know me, who don't know me. I meet him, even a taxi driver or a service or a grocery store, what Jesus did in my life, because I wanted everyone to experience this. And that's from that point I started to share the gospel. Had the opportunity to have some tracts, New Testament to share it. And that's what really it started. It started to share the gospel to everyone. I better put my watch, otherwise. This is one of the ministry today we're doing it. In the ministry called Arab World Follow-Up Mission, and it started it from a vision God gave it to me after the first year of visiting. I received Christ 89. At the end of that year, I went for the first mission trip to Sudan, and there where I experienced preaching the gospel to the Muslims, and every day there was a lot of Muslims coming to Christ for about 40 days. When I returned home, I was praying the first week and asking God, Lord, I want to serve you. What do you want me to do? Then when I received the vision, which is to reach every home and every tent and to mobilize Arab to reach their country. And our mission is today not to bring that country, but to bring the gospel to the Arab world. I started to go door to door just on our neighborhood, knock the doors and give them track, New Testament, and speak with them about Jesus. It's a long journey. There's a lot of testimonies, but God start to, teach me step after step what to do and how to do it. Today, what we're doing is, let's jump, yeah. Since 1990, the ministry started, or AWFM, Arab World Follow-Up Mission started. And today, I'm going to share quickly also with you, then we'll grab the Word of God to preach a passage today for you, also part of the ministry. But I want to share with you just a history about what we're doing. Since I received Christ, excuse me. Who don't know Jordan, this part, if you see this part, is Israel, by the way. Okay, because I recognize some of you, they don't know where is Jordan. And in the top there, in the Galilee Sea, and then it goes the Jordan River, then the Dead Sea, then it goes down dry, which is a desert, until the Red Sea. So that's all this side, it's all Israel. So you know how we're blessed to be neighbor of Israel, and not just this, to protect Israel too. So we praise God for our king and the Jordanian government that we're taking care of Israel, because if we're not talking politics here, but lots of people against Israel today, but we stand and we protect them, and we have the real peace. As a government, I'm talking, with real peace with Israel, so we're blessed with this. So anyway, door-to-door ministry. This is one of the ministry we do, and as I mentioned, I started just since I received Christ. I started to share Christ, and I wanted to everyone to know about Jesus. Today, we're involved distributing tracts, New Testament, Life of Jesus, CDs, audio, also on it works on solars. We distribute for the Bedouins and the Gypsy, which they don't have tapes or CD players, excuse me. We're involved in those countries I mentioned, the four countries actually, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq. The biggest is going in Iraq today. We're distributing from 12,000 to 18,000 New Testament every month in Baghdad itself, not in the and surrounding Baghdad. We're also distributing in Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. And just this February, I printed 1 million from this track and another million from almost the same message, but for the children. And Pastor C.S., he is going to, I give it to him in English so he can print it. And hopefully you can also ask him, who would like to get some. Doing door-to-door, that's one of the exciting but not fun to do it. Let me explain for you. Going door-to-door, that's places where you really get tired and no one appreciate. Some who will close the door in front of your face, some will spit on your face, some will give you a good punch, some who will follow you with rocks, some who will throw hot water if there's a balcony while you go down. Some will catch you in the report on the police. So we have lots of obstacles going door to door. But you know, I want to tell you one thing keep us going. keep the team going. When we come to this door and we knock the door, and when we start to share about Jesus, and they catch us from here and say, come in now. I was waiting somebody like you to tell me about Jesus long time ago. And those kind of people who are giving a new breath and strength for us to continue. Otherwise, I tell you, it's not worth it. But it's like, let me share this with you. One day, that's how God showed to me what door-to-door means. He showed me a dream that overnight took me to a small city, and all the city, they're sleeping. So most of the lights are off. So everyone's sleeping. But there is like 60, 70 lights on. And he was telling me, you see all the city? It's dark. And there's, you see those lights on those homes? Those are the people who are waiting somebody like you to tell them. They're waiting for you to go and tell them about me. And you'll be surprised how when you see those people, we still have people who are seeing dreams, seeing Jesus. I just, one of the refugees, we reached them very soon. In Jordan, Iraqi and Syrian refugees. So one of them, she shared with me, I know something called Jesus. She's a Muslim background, of course. And she said, I was abused from my husband. And I decided one day I want to kill myself. I want to suicide. So she brought like a knife, and she wanted to cut her. So, and she did. So while she's start to, she already, what you call it in English? Forgive my English. By the way, it's my fourth language. So anyway, when she went out, okay, help me, yeah. then she waked up. When she waked up, she said, I saw this man with a very bright from everywhere, and especially from his face, from his she said, I was seeing him from like his back, and then he pulled his hand like this, and he took me up. And then I start to call him, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, she said, yeah, I didn't know the name of Jesus before. So she was saying, Jesus, Jesus. So she waked up and she tried to look to his face. She couldn't recognize because of the light coming from his face. Then she waked up and the blood is on the ground, but she's good. And the blood stopped, but from her hand. And she ran to the neighbor. She's a Christian, but not born again. She said, look, somebody came to me, and this is what happened. And I was saying, Jesus. And the lady, she started to cry. She said, what? This is Jesus. This is the Savior who came. How I wish I can see him. So anyway, those kind of testimony. This is one of thousands testimonies, almost the same, how today Muslims still see Jesus in vision like this. It's so interesting when a Muslim is thirsty, they come. We feel ashamed how they grab in Jesus and stick with him because they saw him, or God spoke with them in a different way. But door to door again, it's one of the ministry we're doing today. Just the beginning of this year, God was challenging me before I printed those tracks that you need to challenge my church, you need to challenge my people, and I always had discouraged from the church because. when I received the vision, 1990, my pastor on that time, he was sharing in the church. He was sharing, there's a meeting in the country for all the leaders and churches, and please pray for this meeting. And I said, oh, wow, that's a good idea. Why don't I ask him to get permission to speak and share my vision? And so I did. I asked him, and surely he got me permission. I went to this meeting, and I stood there and say, pastors, I want to share you what God put on my heart. So I said, pastors, if you can, everyone give me two or three person from your church so we can make a team and we can reach Jordan for Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And guess what they did? No. Everyone was whispering with each other and say, oh, this little boy, he's still a new believer. He's very, you know, he wants to do things which he don't know where he is going to. He's going to bring persecution on us. This guy, he don't know what he's thinking about. So all this whispering I was hearing, and I was so discouraged, went back home and kneeled down and cried to God and say, is this what you want me to do? Is this what you called me to? And shortly and simply the answer was, I called you to do this. And I called them to do something else. But just the beginning of this year, God was challenging me to go again to the churches and challenge them. But I said, come on, I keep going and no one is answering. I keep going and encourage the church to do good, share the gospel. And yes, some of them, they're doing it, but he wants everyone to do it. So I asked him, then show me, give me some ideas. So this is what he showed me, that everyone in the body of Christ need to distribute one track a day or one New Testament a day. Only one. Give it as a gift for someone. You see him in the street, in your work, in your school, wherever. Give him a track a day. Give him opportunity to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth. And the truth will set people free. Not you, not me, not anyone else. Amen? Amen. So I want to challenge you today, before I continue, to take this chance. Maybe you have a track here. If you don't have, call your pastor and say, we need a track. But I want to challenge you today. Do you have any excuse today to not to give one track or New Testament to somebody in your... And I heard you're only 400 something here. I mean, for me, if I come in a month, I will finish. I will go all the doors, knock all the doors and distribute. But, you know, I want to challenge you today. Are you ready to do that? At the end, I want to pray for you when we finish. But think about it and get serious. Let me say this. If you don't want to do it, okay? If you want to do something like this, not because it's a new idea or I'm here to tell you about it, but you can share the gospel in every in a track, in New Testament, on any written material. I don't want to say you're lazy, but I want to be maybe harsh and say you're more than lazy. Forgive me. But what are we doing? Today you have open country. We're facing trouble, persecution, doing this. But you have open country. What hinder you to not to go? I don't want you to preach the gospel. I don't want to stand there and say, you're a sinner. You have to receive Christ. No. Just be with gentleness. Just give him, let the word of God do the work. Okay? I don't want you to go and speak with the people. Just share with them Christ as silently and let the Word of God do the work. Amen? Let me continue quickly what other things we're doing. The other things we're doing is personal follow-up. And that leads to house church. The other challenge is today, I'm going to preach about this. I teach this today from 3 to 5 years. From 3 to 5 days, sorry, at intensive course. And it's a curriculum I came up with it, but it was from the field. We're learning every day from the field. And I called it Slow Cook, Not Microwave. So we're going, this is our title today, preaching. Third things we're doing, correspondent ministry. And correspondent, we're receiving letters, emails, feedback from different Christian satellite stations, who people, they contact them, they want to know about Jesus on the websites, on web, Facebook, and email. I mean, we get from our tracks, radio broadcasting, different places. So people, we get those names, we take care of them with correspondent, and we make sure that somebody is taking care of them personally and disciple them. We'll talk more about that. Then we're also doing children's ministry. We're reaching up children. We do puppet show, clowning, and then at the end we distribute, and we teach them songs about God's love, because on those villages we cannot just speak about Jesus, but we teach them songs about God's love. And then at the end we distribute backpack with school supply. We also reaching minority group, which is Gypsy, Bedouin, Druze, Kurds, and Alawite. But the Alawite and the Druze, by the way, they're a sect from Islam. They have their own belief and their own book. And Alawite today, the Syrian president, the Syrian president who still standing there, he is Alawite. They're minority, but they have the power. Let me show you. I have a video for you, and probably I need extra 10 minutes from your regular time. Is it okay? So let's see this video. Just give you a little bit an idea how we reach. We're reaching out. This is one of the ways we're doing it, and it's going to be coming on the sermon, so you can understand more. But let's see the video together. Try to reach those people in the desert, which is 3.5 hour driving, but nothing was happening. And I was praying and asking God, Lord, what shall we do? And then with doing some research, I found out, as in the movie said, those people, their heart is not on their children or wives, because they have more than one wives. But their heart is on their sheep and goat and camel. So that's why we started the veterinarian clinic, to go to them and reach them. And that's how their hearts start to be open and they're receivable. Let's go to our sermon today, and open Isaiah 28. And I want to ask somebody who have a good voice, better than me, good English actually, and read Isaiah 28:24 to 27:28. From Isaiah 28:24 to 28. Okay. Thank you. Amen. I want you to keep your Bible open, and I just want to tell you, you know, in these days we really live in a very fast life or rush life, that whatever we do, we want to do it fast. We'll go to church, we want even the sermon will be squeezed. Oh, he's late, more than what time you go here. Because this is life, you know, in your work, you want to do things, you want everything to be, of course, in order, but quick, because you want to catch another business to do it. And you want to cook today, you want to do it in microwave, you know, just have something ready and put it in microwave and heat it and eat. You want to buy a car, what is the best and fast car to do? Is this right? We're talking something familiar, or it's somewhere there in the air. But this is reality. Everything we want at fast, everything, we do not have time. Guess what? Even we do not have time to do ministry. Even we're in the ministry. How this can work? Yeah, even we are full-time in the ministry, but we don't have time to reach people. Oh, I'm busy, brother. I'm a full-time minister. Why don't you go and talk with this person or reach out this person? You know, because we're busy. And, you know, I want to admit today, I'm so also busy today with my administration work. That's why I'm asking somebody to come to help me with my administration. But I make sure, at the same time, that every week I'm somewhere in the field with our teams that to reach out. Because otherwise, I'm talking about myself, I dried out. And I'm not a person, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an administrator. I'm a person who put me in the street and preach the gospel there for a people. So that's why the administration will kill me. I can't handle it more very much. I can do it. I'm doing it, but that's not me. And it's really hurt me when I see, especially pastors or ministers today, not reaching out. And today you say, oh, you know, we even paying for this pastor and he's not doing the work. You know what? We forget ourselves. With your business life, what are you doing? Because that's not his job only. That's your job too, to reach out. And that's when he called us, he said, go. He didn't say, pastors, go. No, he said, everyone, go to all over the world. And where? Where to go? Not travel in the airplane and go to Jordan to reach out. But you go and start first with your neighbor. That's your goal. First, go to your Jerusalem. That's where the Bible teaches us. We need to... and you know, I tell you something. It's the most difficult place to go is your neighbor. Guess what? Guess why? Because your neighbor know about you everything. He knows how you behave. He knows how you live. You know if you fight with your wife or not, because he can hear whatever. But you know how you behave. And that's why many times we're so scared to go to our neighbor. Which is, this is our main first field, I call it. To reach out the world, you start with your neighbor. When I started to go door to door, we just started from our neighbor. And those neighbors, some of them, they were not happy. Some of them, they were okay. But I wanted every day, everyone in my neighborhood. I wanted everyone in my area. I reached out more than 75% where I live, in the area I live. More than 75, myself, personally. And then the team continued. We're still reaching out my area and the other countries, other, I mean, cities too. But where are you reaching today? And to do that, we will start with our first point today is, as we read from Isaiah 28:24, it's talking about the cultivation. And it's very important that we know how to reach out. And that's why today our sermon title is going to be what I teach. It's a slow cook, not microwave. Remember this. Slow cook, not microwave. You know, I learned also with the slow cook, by the way, a real slow cook. Now we're talking about a real slow cook. That, and probably you know that, that when you slow cook a thing, and I'll give you one example. Did you ever had a egg, and you slow cook it? That's mean without water. You boil or you cook your egg without water, with the shell. I never saw that, but I saw it, of course, later. I'm not doing advertisement here, but there's a pot called Zepter, and probably you know it. And you slow cook with it. You put the egg without water, and I don't know how long, and then it's cooked. And you know what? When you eat a boiled egg, the same, put two egg, boil it, and you eat this, it's a little bit different, the taste, because with the boiling, there's a lot of things, you know, the water and take it out. But because this was cooked without the water, so it's really more tasty, even a little bit salty, you see it. But anyway, just an example. And this is true. So that's why when we even reach out to people, we want to do it quick. And today, we learned, not just today, from long time ago, even us. And I'm not standing against that, but if you're traveling, when I travel, yes, I do it still. But in my country, I don't do that. That's mean, today we use the tracks, especially those tracks at the end of the tracks. Yes, I encourage you to distribute, but that's something else, okay? But if you want to reach out to your neighbor, you don't do it this way. You don't give him a track and God bless you. So I want to teach you today how you want to do it. So anyway, the microwave way we do it, at the end of the track, we usually find a challenge for everyone. You know, you want to be here, going to hell, or you want to be here, be with God. So it's like I see it like a nightmare. Yeah, we're doing a nightmare for this person. So you choose. You have a choice today. You want to be with God or you want to be cooking there? Of course you want to be with God. And at the end, he want to come to a point there. He will say this prayer with you. And after he said his prayer with you, he'll say, congratulations, my brother. You become Christian. And Sunday at 9:30, we have our church here in Nairobi, whatever here, the name. So welcome. And we see those people coming to church, but you know, is really Sunday a place where I can teach those people, or I mean disciple those people? Because this person who came to Christ, he's like a baby. He still want to drink some milk. Then everyone had maybe, or you watch a baby grow, and then you need some Cerelac. Then you can just feed him rice or meat. Yesterday we had wonderful meat with my brother. It was delicious, man, I tell you. So you can't. You can't just give him meat. So it's the same. I'm not talking something, you know, something strange for you today. And I believe you're catching up what I'm talking with you about. So to cultivate, we need to. Anybody here farmer? No. Did anybody put a seed? You have kids at school. Somebody, your kids never came and, mommy, daddy, we want to, you know, put the seed on the, they taught them on school, whatever. Sometimes, someday, maybe you put a seed somewhere, all right? But you know, did you ever, and you tell me today, did you ever put the seed on the ground and then second day you wake up and it's, wow, blooming. So, and if you're not a farmer, but to farm, you need to cultivate, you need to prepare this land. In our country, when they plow the ground, they even, after they plow it, they leave it for a couple days, even sometimes for a week, for the sun and for the air to refresh soil. So it's important that to prepare, to cultivate, that we can reality how we're going to practice this with our neighbor, that we start a relationship with this person. And maybe you say, good morning, how are you doing this day? To start to pray every day for him. To start to, not just good morning, a little bit more. Good morning, how was your day today? How was yesterday? Oh, share something with him, something from your life. Just try to build up, make the relationship to grow until we reach a friendship. Because that's how Jesus reached us. Oh yes, when he came to this earth, he was called what? Emmanuel what? Come on, are you sleeping? Come on, talk with me. Emmanuel what? God with us. Come on, talk with me, otherwise I think I'm preaching very bad. Emmanuel, God with us. How dare today we're so busy. We can't be with people. We can't even reach out because we're so busy. Don't you know? I can give you my schedule from the morning till night. And you fix it for me. You tell me how I can do that. I mean, we have a good, strong, we can answer. You know, we can put solid rock things and give excuses after excuses. At the same time, it's reality. But are we really today as a Christian living to make the Great Commission a daily commitment? How we are really living the Great Commission today? And that's for everyone. It's not for the pastor. It's not for your elders. It's for everyone here. So make sure that to build your relationship towards friendship. Emmanuel, God with us. I have to rush. You can see John chapter 2 also speaking about when it says the disciples were invited, Jesus with his disciple were invited to where? To the wedding. Oh, we know the story. I'm not talking about the wine. I'm talking about simply, because sometimes, many times we go to, when we read, we go to, oh, a miracle. Yeah, we know this is about a miracle. But what is about the miracle? What's happening there? Simply, very simply, Jesus, he was invited because he was a human like me and you. So in our country today, when we do wedding, I should invite all the street, all our neighbors, all our friends. I know that when you do wedding here, maybe you have 100, 120, maybe 200, but we have a couple thousand, maybe 1,000, about close sometimes to 2,000. Because why? Everyone I knew him, everyone I met him, I should give him a card. And not just this to not to let some people be angry from you, so you put on the newspaper. So I have a wedding for my son, so you're invited. So who know me? That's I'm out of it. So I invited you, you know. So he don't come. Oh, I'm so, you disappointed me. You don't invite me to your son wedding? What a shame, you know. So to put it out, so I put on the newspaper. So everyone will come. But not everyone, they go to the party or to the, what you call it, the reception, because it's very expensive. Don't get married in Jordan. It's very expensive. But we have beautiful girls too. This is what Jesus, he was invited, and he just simply received the invitation and went to the wedding with his disciples. Maybe it was his neighbor, maybe, I don't know, relative from somewhere. But we know that they knew Jesus. In some way, they knew Jesus. That's why he was invited. So he went to the wedding, and we can see that of course we know the story. Mary came to him and say, "Hey, I have a problem. Do something." And what he answered, "It's not my time now." So he was there not to do something. He was there to celebrate with others, say congratulations, you know, I'm happy, you know, to the family, to the bride, to the everyone. But I saw Jesus here, very simply, he raised up the bar of the relationship, because he already had the relationship. That's why they invited him to friendship when he did the miracle. And that's where, when we come to a friendship, we come to a place where it's not easy to, but it becomes a part of our life. A person who would be more close to him. And today I'm not telling you to make a friendship with all your neighbors. I want to challenge you with only one. Maybe not neighbor, maybe somebody in your mind today. Okay? Maybe someone you know him. Maybe some of your family relative. I don't know. But somebody today is coming now to your mind, and you're thinking about to raise the bar from relationship towards friendship. And second, I want to jump to the second point for the time is running, is after we prepare this land, so we need, we cultivate. The second point is in Isaiah 28:25. It's talking about, jump to the second point. We can see that it comes a place where we plant the seed. And planting the seed is really, it's a skill, placing the seed in the ground at the right time, in the right way, in the right depth. It's very important, because if you don't put it right, the sun will kill it maybe, or the birds will come and eat it. So you need to make sure that you're planting planting it right. And we saw on the movie, that's one of the examples today I showed to you, that this is what we try to do in some areas. And we need to approach to those people in different way. We cannot just go and then, boom, tell them about Jesus. We want to show them the care. Emmanuel, God with us. That I'm here for you. I'm not here to convert you to Christianity. And, you know, I'm sorry to use this word. I hate this word, conversion. Because for the Islam, it means lots of bad things. So we're not here to convert people, guys. We're here to change lives. Because that's what Jesus came to change life and give us life and better life. And he came to this earth not to judge us, but he came, Emmanuel, God with us. So we can understand this almighty God. We can understand him. We can know who is this great God we worship. And remember, he did this because he know us. He created us. We're human. We cannot understand. Why he didn't send some greater prophets before him even? I mean, he tried and tried and tried with the Jew. Never get through until today. They never understand the gospel. But praise the Lord, we have a good messianic churches today that they know Jesus as their personal Savior. So so it's very important when we are planting. And here we come to the point where we're sharing the truth. where the truth is setting those people free. So after I have a good relationship, a friendship with him. That means I'm praying for him every day. I'm really thinking about. I'm meeting with him once a week. Okay, even for a short time. But during the week, you know, when we spoke a little bit, maybe there is some issue in the family or whatever. Something will pop up. So I will call him after 2 days. Hey, brother, how was that going? I was thinking about it. Is everything okay? You know, and you make sure don't be very spiritual when you're doing the friendship. You don't want to be spiritual. Be spiritual for yourself, but live Christ in front of him. Okay, don't be spiritual. You know, show him that you know I'm a man of God. You keep that for you now, and just pray for him, and care about him. Okay, Jesus didn't come. He spent 3.5 years with the disciples. Wow, did you ever thought about it? Jesus himself, it took him 3.5 years to build up those 12, and one of them even deceived him. Oh my. How about me today? How am I going to build a disciples for Christ? And you know what? It's again, why this is why I called it slow cook, because you need to walk with this person, okay? You need to show him again that you are there for him. So when you are calling him during the week, also maybe once or twice, so you show your care for him, that you also want to give. I can't explain it in English very well, but I can explain this way, that he become part of your life. That's mean when you got this friendship very well now, and he called you maybe you sleep at 10 and he called you at 11 and said, hey, help me, I have this or whatever that, and say, brother, I'm sleeping now, I will pray for you, can I see you in the morning? You better, you know, don't answer this. You better stand up and say, where can I meet you? What can I do for you? And that's what, you know, this is how he did. He didn't, the disciples were sleeping, and he was there praying. He was standing for them. What are we doing today? Are we reflecting Jesus? Are we really, when people, they see we're Christian? What that mean for people today? Today in Middle East, when they see you Christian, you know what they see? They see bad things. What a shame. You know why? Because when they see Madonna or other, you know, naked and have the big cross here on her breast, what they see? This is Christianity. What a shame. When they see all these bad movies on the TV, those are the Christians. You know? Are we presenting Christ? Are we living Christ when we've been called Christians? And by the way, Christianity, it's been called, if you know, in Antioch. The disciples were always called disciples until when they were in Antioch, and they called them Christians. But always they were disciples and believers. And today we encourage our Muslims who receive Christ to not to go and shout, we become a Christian. We say, you are disciples, you are believers in Christ. Because we cannot change people's mind, you know, to understand, I become Christian, then you deserve to be killed. But I'm a follower of Christ, okay. Well, in Islam, we believe in Jesus, so what? I mean, because you need to understand, maybe in your area somebody believe in something else and they hate even Christians. I don't know. I'm just giving you an example of the Muslims. And probably there is, not probably, for sure, Islam is growing here. And I don't know, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking, wow, we're afraid. When I go to U.S. and teach this, and people, they say, "Oh, I saw Muslim," especially after 9/11. I saw Muslim in the Walmart walking there, and I went from this way. I said, "Why? Why are we afraid? Are all of them terrorists? Are there Dragulas or aliens? What? They're humans. They need Jesus as you needed Jesus. There is no different between them receiving Christ and you when received Christ as your personal Savior. So be humble. Be humble and be serious. Being as Christian and worshiping God and living to Christ like day in daily basis, making the Great Commission a daily commitment. Last point, I'm sorry I'm over the time, I finish up with this. We come to the third point is Isaiah 28:27-28, when the harvest come, reaping. So after I got a relationship, friendship, I'm sharing the truth with him. And remember, the truth is setting him free, as the Bible said. And let's wait, okay? Don't rush. Wait, the Word of God makes the change in his life. When you're sharing the Word of God, you need to make a plan. That's on the teach. Maybe another time I can come and give you 3 hours or 4 hours, if you like. Make it very condensed. But make sure that when you come to a point that you now sharing, planting, go back to the second point, but you're planting right. That's mean, you know, like when you plant something, you don't come and put water and then you go and you come back and put water again. No. You put water and maybe after maybe, I don't know, an afternoon, you come and do some, what you call it, you know, turn a little bit the soil around it. You know, make sure it's the sun, is if any branch is, you know, or we're talking about tree now, or the soil, how is if it's still the seeds there. So, and then maybe you need to give it some fertilizer or whatever, you know. So you plan, you know. There's a plan. If you plant something, you just don't throw it and wait. So it's you need to work. You need to move. Don't sit down there and wait miracles. God can do miracles, but God put you there to do miracles through you. Okay? Don't think you are such a person. Oh, I'm weak. No, he gave us all the authority. Man, when I think about this, I got you know, because we're not doing it. We are not taking our authority. When we see somebody sick or somebody, I don't know what, why don't we go say, "Brother, let me pray for you." Not right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay? Do your job. Let him, you know, you do your, not job, do your role, that he will do his job through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So when you are sharing Christ, so that's what I mean here, the truth, you need to make sure after you got all this great friendship with him now, so now you want to share something. So usually with Muslims, we start talking about Jesus. It's very exciting place. I don't want to go through that. But with even Christian, Catholic or whatever, because it will start to pop up then doubts, because everyone around Catholic even or whatever you have here, other people, somebody have doubt, especially when you're evangelical. So when you speak about Jesus, that's our solid rock place, then the other things will pop up. So you make sure that you go and share about Jesus, and then next time you make sure, if you didn't finish, to for him to know about Jesus, okay? Next time you make sure he maybe had a question. So give him a time. Next time you answer this question, you go and study. Maybe you don't know about it. Maybe you never studied about it. It's all right. It's a chance for you. And never feel that, oh, how I can do this? Oh, it's a shame I can't answer. No. Tell him, you know, I need to go back and maybe read something or ask my pastor. It's all right. It's all right. We never grow up with PhD, certificate. So we learn. So it's not, never it's shame to say, oh, I need to study this and I'll get back to you, or I want to learn more this. And maybe how about we learn it together next time we come and talk about it. Anyway, let's wrap it up. After we're doing this, the Holy Spirit is working in their life, because the truth is working in their life. And then when they're ready to receive Christ, that's mean they know who is this Jesus by knowledge and by heart. Okay? So that's a slow cook, that they understand. They come to a point with understanding Jesus, not because of the nightmare you did with him on that time, and you want him to receive Christ. And again, please, I'm not cursing or making mocking about this. No, God use anything. God use a cup of water. God can use anything. But I'm trying to tell you that you have a chance. We have a chance to do disciples. And doing disciples, it's not with tracks. Okay? And that's what I'm talking with you today. It's making disciples. And we need to think about those ways. As we read, reaping is a joyful privilege of bringing the harvest. I don't know how many of you spoke or shared Christ with someone, and man, how happy day. Oh, happy day. Is that right? It was a happy day for you, and for him too. But for you, it was a very happy day that this man came to Christ. So it's really you join together. You have the joy. That's what I mean. The joy together. And we need, after that, then start to disciple them. So before that, what we were doing actually, it's pre-discipleship. Okay, and then we start the real discipleship with them. And Shofar has wonderful. Curriculum of discipleship. You know what I like in you guys, in Shofar? I like you reaching out. I like you, when somebody come to Christ, you make sure to disciple them. I hopefully you do this here too, but I shared with you today that to encourage you some way, and we're experiencing this, that you go slow cook, not microwave. That you make the Great Commission a daily commitment. I just learned it this year. Make the Great Commission a daily commitment. Let's pray. I don't know what did you receive today? What did you be challenged with? And forgive me if I was a little bit harsh on some words with you, but today, are we really reaching? Are we really making the Great Commission a daily commitment? Are we living the Great Commission? Close your eyes and let's have. I want to pray for you, and I want you to think about a person today. I'll give you a moment to think about a person today, that maybe this is the person today I should take an action and start a relationship towards friendship. and then answer the doubts, and then he will know Christ, and then I will disciple him. Do you have a person in your mind? And if you do, I want you to stand up. Please don't stand up because I'm here. You don't want to, whatever, let me feel bad. But no, I want you to stand up because there is a serious thing is going to be happen in your life, and you're going to change this country just with one, just starting with one person. So I'll give you another chance to sit down if you're not serious about it, because I want to challenge you today to start from today, start to pray for this person. And I want to give you 2 minutes. Pray with your loud voice. It's okay if you want to bring his name or her name, but pray for this person with loud voice, that God will use you, that you will start with this person the slow cook, not microwave. Come on, pray for this person. I want to encourage you that from today, maybe you make this step forward, that you will be start talking with this person and build the relationship towards friendship with this person. And always make a plan. Don't just, because Satan is so clever that we put us in a way, and then he let us just go circle around us. But make a plan. I know you're all, maybe some of you engineers, some of you, you're all educated, you know. And you know what I'm talking about. To do a plan. Make a plan. And let work on this plan, that you know next time, and every time you're meeting with him, you're praying and make sure that what you're going to share with him is that he will be receiving and while he's receiving, the Holy Spirit is changing and setting him free. It's a challenge for us today to live Christ, to make the Great Commission a daily commitment. I want to pray for you in my language, and then we'll be here after that if you want me also to pray for you for anything in your life. Also, I will be more than happy to bless for you. Let's pray. Lord, Ya Rab Ilahi Salih, Ana Baji Andak Fi Hada Alwaqt. أصلي يا رب شاكرك يا رب من أجل لكل شخص يا رب اليوم وقف. أصلي باسم الرب يسوع أنك تلمس يا رب هدول الأشخاص يا رب, تلمس كل يا رب شخص حط اسم يا رب قدامك يا رب, قدامك أنت, حتى يا رب يوصل له باسم يسوع. أصلي حتى أنت الآن يا رب, يا روحك الله القدوس تأتي يا رب بقوة على فكرهم على جسدهم يا رب أنك تملأ يا رب حياتهم يا رب بقوة باسم الرب يسوع المسيح بقوة عالية يا سيد رب حتى يا رب يكون يا رب العمل الذي يعملوا فيه يا سيد رب يعملوا لأجل ملكوتك يا سيد رب وليس يا رب لأجل يا رب أمور شخصية أصلي باسم الرب يسوع المسيح أنك يدك يا رب تكون معهم تقودهم يا رب في كل خطوة يخطونها يا سيد رب اليوم يا رب تعال تعال بقوة يا رب على حياتهم وأنت أنقذ يا سيد رب هاي البلدة يا رب من خلال هدول الأولاد يا سيد رب نشكرك نشكرك لأنك أعطيتنا أنت عمانوئيل الله معنا يا سيد رب الذي أتيت يا رب لتكون لنا حياة لتكون لنا أفضل يا سيد رب أشكرك يا رب من أجل نعمك من أجل بركاتك يا سيد رب أشكرك يا رب لأنك أنت أرسلت ابنك الحبيب يسوع يا أبانا السماوي حتى يا رب تخلصنا من الهلاك الأبدي يا رب تعال تعال بروحك القدوس يا رب تعال بنفخة يا رب على الناس الواقفين اليوم يا رب اللي اليوم حطوا حياتهم يا سيد رب تحدي يا رب قدامهم حتى يذهبوا يا سيد رب ويأتوا بالثمر وصلي يا رب حتى ثمرهم يدوم يا سيد رب وصلي حتى يأتوا بالثمر 30 و60 و100 باسم الرب يسوع المسيح تعال يا رب على حياتهم على عائلتهم يا سيد رب سدد احتياجاتهم يا رب كن يا رب معهم في كل خطوة باسم يسوع يا رب إن كان يا رب في ضعف في حياتهم وصلي باسم يسوع الآن يا رب أنك أنت تسندهم وتقويهم يا رب تعال شكرا يا رب شكرا لأنك حي شكرا لأنك يا رب موجود في وسطنا يا رب شكرا لأنك أنت الذي تعمل يا رب في قلوبنا يا سيد رب وفي حياتنا باسم الرب يسوع المسيح أرسل هدول الأشخاص يا سيد رب أرسلهم يا رب بقوة وبقوة دفعة من روحك القدوس واجعل يا رب قوة العلي يا رب تظللهم باسم الرب يسوع المسيح وتجعل يا رب قوة القيامة يا سيد رب تكون في حياتهم ومن خلالهم يا سيد رب أن يصنعوا يا رب كل ما يا رب أنت أعطيتنا يا رب من مقومات يا سيد رب وإرادة ويا رب معجزات باسم يسوع المسيح أصلي يا رب لكنيستك هاي يا رب حتى تنمو تنمو يا رب وتكون يا رب مغيرة يا رب ليس فقط في هذه المنطقة لكن في هذه البلاد يا سيد رب باسم يسوع المسيح أصلي ولك أعطيك المجد إلى أبد الأبدين آمين هاللويا
Thank you, brother. We just want to invite anybody that still requires prayer this morning. We will be here in front. If there's anybody here that has not met Jesus Christ as well, we would like to invite you. Just speak with somebody in front here. And we would just like to share with you what's in our hearts and just pray with you. But if there's any specific prayers, please, you're more than welcome to come to the front. We'll pray with you. But thank you very much, Brother Abu Saad, for your testimony and just your word that you bring to us. I think it's important and in season for us. It's a wake-up call for myself personally that we sometimes miss this commission completely. And it's something important that we have to carry forward. We just thank you for your prayer as well. And then there's coffee for you just to, don't just walk away, I know it's late. But just, we would like to talk with you and just build relationship and just know you because there's some people that we don't know at all. We just like to speak with you. But thank you for being here today and we hope that you have a blessed week ahead, that you're challenged as well, that you take up the challenge and walk with it. And we just thank you for your time. Have a blessed day. Amen.